crack me up.
Divine timing that my mom walks in after I just like recreated the episode. It's a perfect timing. This is why you don't rush it, because this is the timeline I was supposed to be on. Hello to everyone on Facebook Live. If you want to like join in on the radio show, there's the links on the social page too and all that fun stuff. So I was reading someone. I told her just call back. So we're just going to go right into that. We'll do our fun stuff.
I'm busy laughing.
I forgot the one video I was cracking up with on TikTok. It was hilarious and I was laughing so hard. And I have to find it again.
What was it about?
I gotta look again. But I was laughing so hard. What was it? I'm gonna find it. I hate doing that to people. I'm like, it was the best video ever, and then I can't remember it. But it was something, one of those stupid things where it's like, you can't believe I said that shit.
Mm-hmm.
It was hilarious. But all right. Is this you? The same caller? Oh, cool. That was fast. I clicked on it. So we're back on the right timeline. Thanks for going back. Sorry about that. And
thank you.
My awesome mom's here. So what I would like to do is kind of, let's go back to this new timeline and focus on what comes up first. Because literally when things change, so does everything else changes. So you're a different person now and I'm a different person. It's hard.
We're right here.
I don't know how long I'm going to last. But
yeah, as long as you're here. So, you know what? So you were asking about money coming in and stuff, and honestly, what I would like to ask you is,
yeah,
what is it? Why is it you need this? Because I'm hearing more of a directional of energy and understanding from it.
Well, he and I were partners in a lot of things, and he passed unexpectedly, and so and I know everybody on the planet, the beginning of time, says this, but we would have made different, we would have made arrangements, you know, that we were together for several, a few decades. And so, we were,
he was 30.
There's going to be a lot of unexpected shifts in your life in a good way.
Oh, good. Gosh, good.
I'm getting chills.
There were warning signs before.
I let my mom do it. She's already picking up.
There were warning signs before that either you ignored or you just kind of rationalized away.
You're right. I mean, looking back at it, yeah, I see all the red hazard lights and all that jazz. I just didn't. You're right. It was out of my realm of experience. I had never experienced. But and besides that, he used to tell me things, and I believed in what he said. He always said, "I'm going to outlive you." Whenever it came up, the topic, and I believed it, and I was shocked. When he took his last breath, I was just shocked. I was there with him, and I know he was shocked.
Yeah. I think he tried to convince himself too, but unfortunately, you know, you could only lie to yourself so long and lie to everyone else around you so long before the truth starts to really unfold. And yeah, he had the warning signs were there, but sometimes, you know, they're not, like you said, it's out of the realm of your experience. So you're not going to notice them. Or if you do notice them, you're going to rationalize them away.
Well, and he was the type, for all the couple of decades we were together, I could never, ever, ever ask him, how are you feeling? Never, ever. You know, I mean, if the wind was blowing in a weird direction, how are you feeling? You know, just an innocent question. He never liked that question. So I just got out of the habit of, I still asked him, but he didn't like it. You know, he didn't like that. I think he felt superior to everyone else in the way of his health.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think he just thought he knew what he was doing and he was managing things just fine. And thank you very much. And that kind of thing.
And leave me alone. I know what I'm doing. Everybody else doesn't know what they're doing. The doctors don't know what the hell they're talking about. And I know how to handle this. And,
exactly.
You know, that's what, you know, that ends up being a big problem, obviously.
Yeah,
but,
exactly. I mean, I couldn't believe that was happening. I can't even believe today is, you know, I was counting up the weeks and I thought, oh my gosh, I can't believe this much time has passed. You know, he passed May 6th. I can't believe this much time because I've been in a stupor practically.
Sure. I mean, if you're with somebody for decades, you know, and all of a sudden they're gone, there's a lot of, you know, kind of that stunned feeling, you know, of like almost like suspended animation. You know, it's like when, I don't know if you've ever experienced this, you might have, when something is happening that's, it becomes surreal, like out of body experience, like you feel like it's not real around you. Like everything is just not something you could feel or touch. It's like suspended animation, so to speak. And it takes a while to accept the reality. And
well, she was asking before about money coming in from this, or when is it? And what I'm also hearing from that is the answer is it's going to come when it's going to come, which most people don't like. But what I'm hearing overall is that there's things around you and your living situation that it's like you have to take time with handling each step and focusing on yourself and being okay with certain things, or how are you going to move forward? Because my guides are saying, in order for that to come in, and when it does, how it will, it's about you evolving. And it's not about you forgetting him, or how it's not letting go in a sense of I'll never see you again and this is it. And it's about you taking the steps on how you're going to move forward next. Because they said that they don't want you to just, you're handling it really well, but they're not saying in a good way or a bad way. It's about you patiently just being okay with how this develops with yourself. And also talking with other people, and how the universe has some plans for you with connections to friends and conversations, or because you're supposed to be helping people eventually, and this is a part of the journey for you. I want to say it can be in a couple months, because there's still things I need to process, and how this all works sometimes is how we're resistant or we want to just complete it. And there's going to be paperwork. Still things need to be finished.
I'm getting the number 90, like 90 days.
90 days.
But I don't know. I'm not sure if it was 90 days from that time or 90 days from now. I'm feeling like it's 90 days from that time. So you're already, I think 60 is already passed. So probably another month. And they'll be, I guess the residuals or whatever it is that you're waiting for.
What I'm also getting too, though, is try not to like overthink this, because it can turn into, well, what do you think? You think the money's coming in? And a lot of people
sometimes ask a lot of questions and other spiritual guide people and or spiritualists, and then you don't know, and then you're pushing yourself back more with when it's coming in, and you have to start believing more in how you feel, or not letting when it's coming. Just focus on self.
I can barely see it.
Because you need to focus on you more, and you're doing great. But
Thank you.
When I first
I'm meeting with a lawyer because I've talked to a schoolboy friend of his. I mean, we're all adults now, but he gave me the idea. So I'm meeting with a lawyer. Let's see, when am I meeting with a lawyer? In August. And I guess that was as soon as I could get in, but it was recommended, that lawyer's name, by someone else that is a professional that worked with my significant other who passed. And so anyway, I'm hoping to get some. The secretary was sounded very encouraging when I talked to the secretary, you know, the steps that we could take and think possibilities and things like that. Because like I said, he sure didn't expect to pass. I didn't expect him to pass. And even though you're saying there were signs, you're right, but none of us know those things unless we've been down that road before.
Yeah, no, of course not. There, the signs were there, but, you know, like I said, you know, sometimes, you know, like anything else, you know, if you're talking about specific medical issues, you're not going to know what, you know, a cramping in the leg means, or, you know, a pain or fear. Like, oh, I got a pain in my leg. And meanwhile, that could be a deep vein thrombosis, which creates, you know, the heart attack. And, you know, you're not going to know these things unless you're a doctor or yourself. But again, you know, you said he believed that he knew what he was doing, that he knew better. And unfortunately, we do have to pay attention to the medical, our medical people, because they're telling us, because they're, you know, the realm of possibilities. Like, look, I think it's this, and I think you need to do this. And it's your choice if you do it or not.
And he was lecturing me still when he was in the hospital. I never left his side, and he's always wanted me to give up meat, and he was a vegan, and in fact, that's what killed him. And I said, oh yeah, I'll give it up. You know, even in the hospital, he was always after me to give up meat. So after he passed, I came home and I said, fuck veganism. And I went to the refrigerator and stuffed my mouth with salami. And
I was just going to say salami. How did I know you think I was going to say salami?
You know, that's my favorite these days. And you know, and I eat a lot of vegetables too, but I still eat my meat. And I'm just, you know, I'm just,
but
it's going to take some time to process veganism,
nothing against being a vegan. I have, you know, dear friends that are vegans.
I don't care if you're
I support them, you know, as long as they stay healthy.
It's how they do it. And the doctor by one, he just didn't have a balance in his life as far as that went. And he studied it, you know, and there were a lot
very,
of friends that were
But there's one vitamin that no matter what you do, there's one vitamin that you cannot replace with anything else besides meat. And I can't tell you exactly what that one is. I don't know if
there's vitamin B.
It's a B. Yes, I was just going to say it's a B. It's a B something. And I can't remember if it's B3, B6. I don't remember which one it was.
I don't mind who's vegan.
But no matter what you do as a vegan, eating, you know, beans or, you know, proteins in different forms, you're not going to replace that. And if you have a disorder of any kind that requires that, it becomes a big problem.
We do have to move on to the next caller so we can use time.
Thank
but
you.
I did hear
Thank
what was
you.
The other thing. You're welcome. There's one more thing. Take time for yourself and intentionally be more aware of how you're feeling, because make sure you're giving yourself happiness to little things, because you can kind of get lost with the – it's normal, but – there's going to be more to this journey for you, and they're almost not letting me know because you're meant to experience what it is. But that's the only thing. This might be weird. It's up to you, but I heard talk Talk to him in spirit. You heard that?
Yes, I was just going to say he's going to be around you more and more. And, you know, there are certain steps that happen when you pass, you know, by crossing over and, you know, meeting your, you know, going through your life and going to your the people that are there, your loved ones, your ancestors, et cetera, et cetera. Once that's completed, then they have, you know, kind of jobs to do. And one of their jobs is to take care of the people that they loved. And so he's going to be around you, and you're going to see signs. You're going to see, you know, go ahead.
I already do. I hear songs. He was big on songs, and I'm hearing songs, you know, they come out of nowhere. Stuff
absolutely.
That he loves to sing, little lyrics and jigs. But you know what? I don't want to keep you on the phone because I don't want to be selfish. I don't want to be selfish. You guys are good, and I don't want to hold up the line, and I know what it's like to be on the line, and you're thinking.
You're more than welcome to connect with us on Facebook and the social media, and I'm gonna do more of these because I have to admit I like doing them. I like doing them with you more too. And I do live radio shows with Candace too on the other topics, so it's fun. But thank you for calling in.
Thank you guys. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
So I don't. Back to the vegan thing. I don't mind if anyone's vegan. I don't mind if they're gay. I don't mind if they're bi. I don't mind if they do anything. I just
but,
don't
you know,
push your shit on me. You know
veganism is, you know, is a feeling. It's a belief that, you know, you feel very strongly about how what you're putting into your body,
and
that's, you know, all well and good. And if that's how strongly you feel about that, then God bless. And you know,
some people feel so. That's my
however,
point is,
yeah, don't push it on me. Exactly.
You know the whole like. In the restaurants, even with gluten-free people, there are people that seriously have.
Oh, come
you
on,
tell.
You know who's you know that
yeah.
my friend is
they,
gluten-free
they
and he has to
say it. They want you to know. And
I'm
cool.
really gluten-free.
And then there's those people, and I love everyone, but you could just tell me honestly, rather than, well, I'm vegan, and then it's like, you should care about the animals too. Or, you should really care about me because I'm gluten-free. I had people that were gluten-free in the restaurant, and then I was like, I'm sorry, that what you ordered, though, is not gluten-free. You didn't ask. Oh, it's okay. I'll just have the stomach. Like that.
No, my friend would send it back because his stomach would definitely distend, and we would get major stomach aches and would have the runs for, like, you know, a week. So he'd rather not go through that. So he's very, like, you know, diligent about it because it's painful. I mean, that's true celiac disease. So anyhow, but yeah, I agree. Don't push your
don't
agenda.
Put your shit on me.
Don't put your literally. Don't push your agenda on any. I don't push my agenda on anybody. I really don't say anything. I just let people be.
All right, we'll take the next caller, 775 area code. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Thank you very much, Joe. My name is Wendy. I'm from Sacramento, California.
Hi, Wendy. How are you?
Hi, Wendy.
Hi. It's a privilege to meet both of you. Bless you. I had my 71st birthday yesterday. And
happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
Well, thank you. That's nice of you. And I've been paying faithfully for 20 years on a long-term care policy. At this point, I've paid around $53,000 after 20 years. And I finally put in an application to use the benefits at home. And I was assigned to a lady named Jane. And somehow it was a strange, it was not a good rapport. And she made me feel like she was looking for ways not to approve me when, in fact, I have tremendous medical evidence in my records, MRIs, CT scans, clinical notes, occupational therapy notes, et cetera. So it upset me, and I called today, and I am a humanitarian, so I said, well, I really don't want to complain against Jane, and I mean that. And I said, but I don't feel like it's a good I don't feel comfortable, and I want to be reassigned. And I said, somebody who has compassion and kindness. And I didn't hear anything, so I finally called, and I'm there is a lady by the name of Carrie, who is going to call me tomorrow. She's actually the top person at this company, and I didn't really mean to in any way impact Jane, but this, I need help with my home care. I have spondylosis, and it's a crippling disease, and I need home care. So when I speak to Carrie tomorrow, she left me a message that absolutely she would connect me to somebody that she feels is kind. But then she also made a comment that the lady I had been assigned to was very kind. Well, I'm happy for her that she's supported.
How long has this been going on for?
Actually, I applied about 8 days ago, and then my first conversation was yesterday, Jane, and it didn't go well. And I got the feeling she was looking for ways to not approve me.
Mm-hmm.
So will I feel more comfortable with the new person, and will I be approved for this home care for the rest of my life before the month of August ends?
My gut tells me you're not going to be comfortable with the next person, but let's see what the cards pull up.
I didn't quite hear you. I'm sorry.
I said my gut tells me that you even though you might be comfortable, you're not going to really be comfortable with the next person, because I think they're going to do the same thing. Because it's the same agency. But let's see what the cards pull up.
All right.
Is there any way you could change agencies or?
That's what I was thinking too. But there's something overall. The main thing that's coming up what I'm hearing is
you're a
long-term
company, and they don't make policies anymore.
All right. The one thing that I'm hearing is that you need to believe in this turning out the way you are wanting it to. The obstacle is letting go of what has happened so far, and don't even think about it. Just know that it's going to, your own belief is what's going to help this happen. The other thing, too, is for some reason, someone being able to speak on behalf of you.
I was just going to say the Office of the Aging. The Sacramento Office of the Aging might be able to help. And they might be able to advocate for you.
Yeah, there's that too.
Well,
there's other options that need to be put into place here. But your thoughts aren't worry of this. Your heart is in, there has to be a way to connect in a positive way. The other thing you can do, honestly, is do you have a brown paper bag and honey?
A brown paper bag and honey, yes.
Do you have a pencil?
I can find one, sure.
So what you're going to do is write this person that you're going to meet with tomorrow on the phone, the next meeting, their name, and put honey on it with a candle next to it. Do you have a white candle?
Okay.
Even a tea light, the tea light candles is good enough too.
Yeah. And what you're going to do is you're going to light the candle with her name and honey, and you're going to ask the angels to please sweeten her up in favor of helping you and understand your energy, because there's a lot of things that happened before that is causing this blockage. And so by doing this, it's going to help the situation.
Okay.
And
that's so are you saying that ultimately I will be approved?
We're trying to manifest
just
that for
do
you.
That. Do the honey thing with her name, light the candle, because that's what's going to shift everything. If you could do it tonight or do it today, light the candle and say, I call upon my angels to please help and assist by sweetening her up. And that way she will also understand your situation.
Okay.
All right. That's really
Well, I hope it's a better rapport with the next person than it was with Jane.
I need you to, well, when you do that, don't even think about it anymore. Like, let everything happen, but don't worry about it. The worrying you're doing is also creating the problem.
Yeah.
Okay. I will visualize me being informed that I am approved. And,
absolutely.
But will the next person be worse than Jane or the same as Jane or maybe a little bit more comfortable?
Well, that's why he's telling you to put the name on the paper bag and pour honey over it in a dish and then light the candle. So that will manifest the woman to be sweeter.
If you do that and let go and just go to the next, you know, the next meeting you have, then that's it. It's going to work out. But by visualizing it too, that's what's going to help too. But if you catch yourself thinking negative or worrying about it, just let it go. Just know that, think positive, be positive. It is going to work out. It is going to work out.
Okay. Well, one of the things that happened was my primary care doctor needed to sign 2 pages of documents. And with my medical insurance, they send the documents to medical records. Somebody fills it out, and then they forward that information to my doctor. My doctor scrutinizes it, and when she feels that she approves of every word, then she sends it back to medical records. And the signature says, signed on behalf of this doctor, and it's a different person's name electronically. And Jane said that I would not be approved unless my doctor physically signed the document. So I contacted Mike, the head of the medical records department, and he's incredibly supportive. And he sent me an email, and it talks about it's against the law for them not to accept this electronic signature. And it also has his direct phone number, and he wants them to call him. So Mike is his name. So maybe he'll benefit me by helping this company to understand that by law.
I need you to understand something. You keep looking for other, like, your mind keeps going into people and situations and hope, and you keep thinking about it, and you need to just let it go, but trust the process, do the honey thing, or and just in general, let go of, because literally what's happening is your thinking is creating this tension of how this is going to turn out, and it keeps turning out with issues. Just feel and know somehow, some way,
mm-hmm.
this is going to work out for you.
Because that the electronic signature thing is a bunch of BS.
And let go of the past.
It is.
The head of the department
is illegal not to accept it.
And I'll tell you why. Because the original order, the original diagnosis, the original everything was signed by the doctor. What the medical records do is verify that all that is true. And that's where it's like one person swearing that the other person, yeah, this is it. This is the original. Yes, I swear that. And they sign it. It's not the doctor. The doctor doesn't have to re-sign what he already did.
Yeah.
So, her last name is Robinson. It's a lady. She's wonderful.
So the doctor doesn't have to re-sign what they already diagnosed. It's just a verification from the record department that they did this.
So
yeah.
You maintain this positive thinking.
Wow, that hurts.
It's gonna change everything. And don't worry about telling everyone what happened. Just trust in what's happening, and don't overthink it. Just let it go.
We're trying to help you speed the process up and not have to go through all the every you know hoop. And every detail of proving. So let's try this piece first. I mean, I believe that eventually it will work in your favor, but we're trying to help you avoid all the blocks and creating more blocks.
There's a fear here. Yeah. Fear is
and I hope I hope they don't send somebody to assess me, because as Jane said, the assessor will know exactly what their company's looking for.
Right.
And I said, I believe they do.
everything.
There's so many ways. There's so many angles to point at them, or so, you know, like pretty much cannons. But we're trying to help you avoid having to point cannons. I mean, there's, you know, the Attorney General. There is the Office of the Aging. There is the greater, no, that's New York. I'm sorry.
What?
But just those two organizations alone can, you know, are cannons. However, if we could avoid that, if we could avoid pointing cannons and getting what you need now, it's the best option. So let's see and try this road so that you don't have to go to that extreme. So by not, right. by trying to not put in negative energy and trying to put in positive energy, not worrying, because don't worry, eventually it will work out. But let's not focus on the eventual. Let's focus on the right now. And right now, let's not create more roadblocks. Let's try to open the path rather than close the path.
Exactly. Did you say I was the new person that I'm given better, I hope?
Yes.
Will?
Yes.
Yeah, eventually. But here's the thing. Let's try not to throw negativity and worry in that path right now.
Okay. You know what I told myself? It's similar to what you're telling me, that I'm going to make – that's going to be my hobby on the sidelines. And I'm working with temp agencies because I want to get a remote work-from-home job. I've got 23 years experience on the phone in a very intense environment for medical insurance. But, you know, I'd be open to other customer service positions. So I think it'd be good for me. I hope that I get employed soon. Will that happen?
It's gonna happen
one thing at a time. I'm feeling like it's not gonna be now.
It's not gonna be the way you traditionally would go about it, and you have a lot of things to look forward to. It's just that if you stay positive, let go of the negative worries, things will all work out. Just if you have anything that believe in the universe, believe in yourself, but this is all gonna work out, just let go of what has happened so far. All right.
I do that. How soon do you think I'll be working, and will it be remote or would it be partially working home, partially going into an office?
Again, it's not about when or how. Just you're putting a lot of control over the without knowing it.
I'm getting the number six. I'm getting 6 months, but
it's going to come in stages. You're going to get what you need, and then you're going to be able to be happier then and comfortable. So let this work out first and trust the process. And I bet when you call in next time, you're going to have more positivity.
I'll feel more positive next time we speak?
Yes.
Well, that's good. When are you on the air again next week?
Sometime. I'm going to do more of these because I really love doing them. So I do them periodically with my friend, and I do them now and doing my mom now. So we're going to take the next caller, but let us know next time and stay positive. Don't keep the same thoughts. Kind of challenge yourself.
Okay. Well, thank you to both of you. I appreciate everything.
You're very welcome. Love and light to you.
Thank you.
All right. Take a mini break and we'll talk about something personal, I guess. Or I like to do that only because of like the energy shift. And
I can't read anything that's on the screen.
I see little dots.
That's all I see.
We're live on the camera on Facebook just to like say like, yo, we're here.
We're on Facebook.
She's literally take a deep breath. Oh, someone was talking about the caller. Is your mom a lawyer? No. She what is your? I always say you're a glorified social worker.
I'm a glorified social worker. No.
That's what you said before.
I am a social worker.
She's a social worker.
But I'm a clinical social worker. It's different.
She's a badass. In those info to create badass
situations.
Big building.
Well, I know how to make trouble, but I don't make trouble. I only make trouble if I have to make trouble.
You know, let's talk about the topic real quick, briefly. Was there a time that you remember being stuck in, or I guess when was
stuck in what?
Stuck in a thought process, like you couldn't find that way out, like because that was a topic. Like, I guess for me, I got to a point where I had to challenge myself and realize, like, okay, the thinking I'm doing, the feelings I'm doing, it's not helping. And I think I also felt that by talking about it and saying this and this is what happened, maybe when I was cooking too, when I was younger, this is what happened at this place, and I didn't realize I was sabotaging myself.
Yeah, situation. I did that. I did that a while. Oh my gosh, how many years ago was that? There was this person that kind of like shook my self-confidence in ways that I never imagined that it could be shaken. And mainly because this person was a really, I guess, we want to say bad leader. I was reading, you know, like the top 10 things you don't do as a leader. She did like eight or nine of them out of the 10, you know, except like direct verbal abuse. But then again, you know, some of the things that she did was, you could kind of like go there too and say, oh, yeah, that was abusive. And that shook me. And so because I stayed in that state of mind, the next interviews that I went on, I sabotaged. Totally. I mean, and these were jobs that were just like really good. And, you know, now looking back, you know, 10 years, you go, oh my God, look what happened. I had this state of mind. I had this belief. I let somebody shake my confidence, not, you know, giving myself time to, you know, put my head together. And,
but you still showed up though. That's important.
Yeah, I showed up, but you know, I used to say like, I ended up with marbles in my mouth. All the knowledge was there, but it wouldn't come out.
Right.
All the information was there that I needed to say, and I couldn't say it. And now, you know, it's a little different. But it took me a while to realize that. So, yeah, you could get stuck in a lot of that, negative thinking, but in that belief system. This will always, I will never... you know, I wish, why didn't, it should have been, it could have been, why did, you know, that should have, would have, could have, and, or they didn't do it, or that shouldn't have been, you know, like I was focusing on, she was a shitty leader, and because she was a shitty leader, you know, and there was a lot involved in that. That's just, it wasn't just her.
I remember doing that shit. I was thinking to myself, like, how come this person has a higher title is doing this, and it was
right. How does she not see this? But unfortunately, truth always prevails,
right.
Always. And what happened was the truth was seen not too far after I was gone. Yes, validating, but it was way too late.
I forgot what numbers I picked. 520. I think it was 7. Was it 310 before?
I don't know.
I don't remember. We'll pick 919 next. Yo, what's your name? Yoey, what's up, dog?
Yoey?
I don't know why I did that. 919, what's your name? Where
you're picking
from?
Up some energy there.
Hi, my name is Kay, and I'm calling from Georgia.
Hello, Kay from Georgia.
Hi,
Georgia.
Thank you for taking the call.
You're welcome. Sorry I said yo. What's up?
No, no problem.
I guess we're close. We don't realize how close we are. We're like friends already.
Right. So thank you.
So is there a topic you want to talk about, or a question, or just a reading, whatever we pick up on?
I do have a question, but I do have a question. It's about career. I lost my job a few months back, and I say lost, but it's actually a blessing because it was a very toxic environment.
Sure.
And I did take another opportunity that's come through, and I have to say, it's turning out, the work in itself is a lot easier than I expected. The money is not what I need, so I'm actually searching for something new. And I've had several headhunters reach out to me. But I actually had an interview yesterday, and then there's another opportunity that is really, really, really great. So I'm just wondering, do you see something for my greater and highest good coming through soon?
Well, the first thing, before you even asked any of that, I felt sadness, kind of like disappointment. That's why sometimes I hear anything. I really want to ask you, actually, this is another clip more I'm getting, but what is it you really want to do, regardless of the money? The money's a part of it, but what is it you really want to do?
That sounds familiar.
Yeah.
I love working in contracts, which is what the job search. I just love that type of work. I would love to have my own business in addition to, you know, like consulting for contracts. And that is my game plan to work on that. That is something I really want to do in addition to having income, a steady income coming in.
And there's also this loneliness or sadness. And I don't know, I'm not saying you're not in a relationship. What's happening right now is that a part of you, your reality is being reflected with, I'm okay, but I'm not okay, but I'm all right. And it's like this confusion. And so you're getting opportunities and the universe is going, well, do you want this? And you're like, I guess, but I don't know what's next. And then you get another thing. You're like, well, is that good? And the money. And the whole thing is, what I'm hearing too, is don't settle for anything that you don't want or you don't agree with. And don't just worry. Yeah. It's easy said than done. Don't worry about not having a job to the next one. Like, just if you're not happy with it, the universe is interesting. It literally watches us. And until we actually complete something, go, you know what? I don't deserve this. I deserve better. And we get in worry about the whole thing. To be, I'll find this and then I'll leave. The other thing that I'm hearing too is this business you want is really what you want to do. It's more like, it's not a side thing. You need to really make it a thing. But in order for us to ever really manifest completely or do it, you have to not worry about how the money's coming in. Step one, I'm creating it. Step two, whatever it is, be 100% dedicated without fear. Because I'm gonna be honest with you. My guys are saying that if you don't do this for yourself, it's just going to get pushed and pushed and pushed. And you're going to be upset that you didn't do it for yourself because you're working for other people. Mm-hmm. You need to do this for you. Because I'm like I'm in your home. I don't know exactly what it looks like, but I feel it. And you don't want to be there. It's like you're bored, but you don't want to complain. You're grateful. There's a bunch of stuff that you just have to be straight up with yourself. Honestly, if you were going for this business for yourself and started, a lot more would follow through with the development of it and how it all comes together. But you have to trust in that.
I'm getting – I keep hearing the word betrayal.
Okay.
Like it keeps coming. I'm going, betrayal. Well, maybe she would – you know, I don't know. But I'm getting the – I'm feeling that there was betrayal somewhere.
Yeah, I had retaliation for the, that's why, well, it was a miserable workplace. It really was. But I complained to HR on something and there was some retaliation that came out of that and I was let go.
And yeah, somebody they betrayed you basically. They went against somebody you trusted.
Yes. And that's the work front. There is something similar to that on my personal life, which is, that little loneliness. Yeah.
Because the betrayal happened there too. So betrayal is the theme right now.
Yeah.
You know, if you were a whistleblower, that is so against corporate compliance.
I know. Yeah.
If you really wanted to, you can go back and and do something about that. I don't know if you want to waste your energy or your time on something like that.
Yeah. That's been a big concern. Well, I don't say concern, but big thought.
That was the first thought that came to
that
me.
I should,
that's my
yeah,
human.
I was advised. Yeah, I was advised that I could, and it was by a colleague who is an attorney, said that it was quite obvious that's what it was, and I could file an EEOC charge. And I did mm-hmm. consider it really strong, and I did try to get through online and make the process work. Never received a call, but it was just so difficult. And then
it
I
is.
Started thinking,
I mean, any legal I don't want to say retaliation, any legal action takes a lot of time, a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of energy. I, you know, mm-hmm. I think I sued somebody once. And let me tell you, I swore that I would never do it again. Even though I won,
yeah.
I swore
yeah.
I would never do it again because there's so much involved and it goes on for such a long time.
Yes, yes, yes.
I mean, if you don't, you know, if you're one that can not put everything into that
mm-hmm.
and to, you know, if it takes 7 years, it takes 7 years. If it takes a year, it takes a year. Whatever it takes, it takes. I mean, if that,
right.
if you can take that with calmness, you know, that, why not? I'm one of those people that, you know, because you're not the first person they've done that with.
I'm getting
okay.
all
and
like,
I wanted to ask about that. I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, it's okay. There's like a little delay here too.
No.
I'm
sure of that.
You have, I don't know exactly mm-hmm. how many family members are in spirit are with you, but there's a significant energy coming through with they want you
yeah,
to start
run myself.
Going after what
yeah.
you want because
yeah.
they're saying, this is what I'm hearing. They don't want to see you continuously going in the same direction, in the same situation, or the worries of the people. And there's also, I don't know if you have, you didn't have kids, or you haven't been married, or it's just like there's this, I want this, or this doubt
mm-hmm.
of self-worth.
Okay.
And because honestly,
yeah.
what this is stemming from too is, which we don't always understand, your value in yourself and your self-belief from what you've experienced and there's just things with you that you're not happy with. You judge yourself on your looks, and you got to stop doing that. You judge yourself
yeah.
on you. It's almost like as if the spirit that is part of your family, I'm hearing, is she's lying to herself when she's not happy. Like you will go into an office or room, work, and go, yeah, I'm great today, but internally, I'm upset and I don't want to keep being like
yeah.
this. And you think about, and
yeah.
this is where
yeah.
I'm really getting a lot of this energy from. It's that. Just it's hard to do at first, but be honest with yourself on, okay, I'm not happy with this. Because what's going to happen is you're going to start to bring that forward and it's going to go, wow, wait a second. This is connected to people and people not seeing the good in you or the value in you because you're also not valuing yourself. And what I also heard was if you can, if not, try to do it in small ways. Go on trips or something. Go do yourself a favor. I jumped out of my mouth. Do yourself a favor. Treat yourself to what you really deserve. Because you keep waiting for, well, I'm going to do this first, and then I'm going to do this. And I hear a family member saying, there's certain people in your family that wanted to but never did, and they took responsibilities to the forefront, which is good. But you need to love yourself, and they want to see you smile more. They want to see you laugh more. They said it's okay. I'm also hearing it's okay to change who you are. We're always evolving. I also hear, and this is up to you, but if you drink and have a drink, fine. But don't be so hard on yourself because of a past person that was an alcoholic or go enjoy your life. This is your life. And what I'm ultimately hearing to wrap this up is you have to stop worrying about what people are going to think if you don't do it, if you do it, what you have, what you don't have.
What I got was,
oh my God.
What I got was be genuine.
Wow.
Be genuine.
Okay.
So, because when you smile or you know, and you cover up what you, like what Joe was saying, what you were, you're actually feeling and thinking and whatnot. It's not saying that you need to tell everyone your business, but if you cover that up with a smile, believe it or not, people can see beyond that smile, and they perceive that as being ingenuine. And so by being genuine, you don't have to tell your specifics. You could just say, you know, how you doing today? Not so great. I didn't sleep with last night. You know, something.
Okay.
The genuineness is really what he's trying to say.
The past.
I understand.
Creativity, just let it go. I'm also hearing that you went through spiritual events that you don't talk about, but you keep looking for someone that can answer those questions for you. Something about, I heard something about a ring too. I don't know if that makes sense.
I'm sorry.
I was hearing that you had some events happen to you spiritually, but you're also looking and not look. It's like you want someone to, but you don't, to help you understand those events, because it's like you went through them and you avoided going through anything else because you didn't want to. It scared you. I don't know, but there's a lack.
Yeah.
You focus the camera to yourself.
I understand that.
I have a social media page on Facebook. You can reach out to me there too if you feel comfortable. But that's important because it's going to help you with your life now. I had a deja vu moment. I said this before.
Okay. What's your social media? I would love to.
So on this episode too, but on Facebook, look for A Millennial's Third Eye.
With these mosquitoes?
Left
the door open.
And that's my Facebook page, A Millennial's Third Eye. And I put it in the episode. Did I?
Great.
But thank you for calling in. And
okay.
I have a feeling I'm going to be talking to you soon. And if not, it's okay.
Okay. Thank you so much. I appreciate you both.
Bless
you.
You're welcome. Pleasant. I tend to see like a common denominator with things too. What am I doing?
Well, sometimes the night, you know, the day, or it has a theme. I noticed that energies will come together with the same theme in one, you know, in one day. It's because it resonates.
No, this is why also we're here to help too and explain, because it's like if we learn, the more knowledge you have, the more abundance you have. It's not about the material.
Oh, yeah.
So if you have
knowledge is power.
Knowledge and experience, you're able to help others in different ways. That's why we go through this thing.
Knowledge is power.
With everyone on Facebook Live, we're doing a radio show. If you want to call in, I think I put the number.
And I'm getting bitten by mosquitoes.
Yeah, I don't know why they're.
Because the door was open and they came in, and now they bit my scalp, and now they're starting to bite my arm, and I don't have tolerance. I hate bugs. I hate bugs. I hate bugs every bug.
All right. I want to take a minute because I like to recoup. It doesn't have to be super serious. My goal is always to have fun and laugh and shit.
Hey, bugs.
I think it gets serious sometimes, and it's not anyone's fault. It's just like.
It's not the bug's fault, but I hate bugs.
Actually, you know what's funny? It doesn't happen ever. And I was at the river on Facebook Live, and this, I think it was a queen bee. It was actually kind of like, it was one of those soft-looking. It wasn't a yellow jacket. It was a
soft-looking?
Soft-looking black.
It's a bumblebee.
It was a bumblebee, yeah. That's
not a queen bee. It's a bumblebee.
Well, I don't know the size of a queen bee. Anyways.
You'll never see a queen bee.
The bumblebee kind of like flew in to the window, hit my shirt, and like was just chilling. And I was talking.
Yeah, they don't bite bumblebees.
No. Well, it didn't fly away right away.
A little slow moving. They just move. They just kind of like pollinate. They move pollen from flower to flower.
I'm not done with the story yet.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Someone actually messaged me for an appointment, and they said that they asked kind of like the universe for guidance, and I showed up on their Facebook, which has happened before, and she said that also because of the bumblebee. She was like, it was that made me agree to message you, and like she felt good about it. I like that,
because you were petting the bumblebee?
I was talking to the bumblebee. if you guys call in and you want us to take your call, make sure you press the number 1-2 if you're listening, because it shows me on my end what's up with that. What's the topic? that you would like to talk about. I can call people on this too, by the way.
Who are we going to call?
Ghostbusters.
Something strange, isn't it? That's a question. You have to ask a question for that. That's definitely. Rent.
I have a bunch of them.
What?
It drags on longer than I thought.
Yeah, well.
We could take more calls. We should do that. I don't know why that number is like 5 digits. 1216833. What is that about?
1 2.
So there's like 2 people.
Is that international? That's international.
Oh, it's probably someone that.
That might be international.
Yeah, my mom's gifted too. If you see 7 years, I may have to press 1. So press 1 still, Randy. It's okay. You can still press 1 now. I think I might have already. Just 1 thing a minute. I don't know why it's just 1122 is angel number.
You find an angel number in every number.
But I've learned now that I don't have to look up the message. I don't have to, like, I'm there. That's it. That's it.
Mm-hmm.
I used to be so obsessed with it until yesterday.
Yeah. That reminds me when you were a kid. Joe, get off the phone. I haven't been on the phone today. No, you were only on the phone like 24 hours for the last week.
Well, I love talking to people, and then I kind of dwindled down. But it's an experience. Now I talk with people who are just like my best friend, Candace. She's my best friend, by the way, if you didn't know. The one that I went to go see in Florida. We talk, and we could talk about whatever. And it's not about this one topic and I need help with it. It's just we are bouncing back and forth with laughter. And
you chit-chat.
Is that what it's called? It's not, well, it's not shop talk. It's shop talk.
No, you talk.
I'm
like when I'm with my friends, there's never an end to a conversation because we go from one thing to the next thing to the next thing.
I told her, go ahead. You can go now. I'm sorry. Because we just get stuck in the... Like, I got to go do this thing. I was like, all right, go ahead. And we're like, oh, wait, by the way.
Yeah. And then you go into another subject and you get tangent into another hour of conversation.
I don't know. I clicked on a button. I don't know whose number this is, but what's your name where you're calling from?
Hello.
1216833. Hello.
It might have been a wrong.
All right.
Oh.
This is someone else.
Hi.
What's up?
Hi, this is Randy. I forgot. I don't know if I pressed 1. Thanks for taking my call.
Joe. And this is Maria. Well, this is Joe. But that's...
You sound like you've got a couple personalities.
Yeah. Well, with spirit guides and stuff, I had a moment where I was like, I wonder if people think like this is, and I was like, I don't want to think about it. I Googled yesterday. Why does yesterday feel like a dream? And the first thing that came up was like personality disorder. This is that. I was like, this is fucking ridiculous, man. What's up, Randy?
So I got 2 job offers. One
yeah.
of them, a preschool teacher, which doesn't, there's no opportunity for growth, but it's something that might be fun to do. And the other one, I have a social work degree too, but I never signed the papers to get grandfathered to get my clinical social worker license, and I really would like that. But the job starts at 6 a.m. It pays that good, but it's like, oh, it seems like it's a lot of paperwork, and I don't know if I'm going to enjoy the work as much. Just seeing which one I should go for.
Well, you, I'm going to be a little biased here because, you know, just because you didn't get grandfathered in or you waited to get grandfathered in doesn't mean you shouldn't pursue your career and, you know,
right.
your education and your, you know, the amount of money you pay for tuition.
right.
What state are you in?
I was New York, but I'm now in Colorado.
Hmm.
You're in the hood now. I don't know. I just feel like saying that.
Now I'm sure, I don't know the regulations in Colorado, but if you have a license, did you keep up your license?
I have a license, but I'm not clinical, so it's very hard to get. I got this job, but it's hard to get other jobs, a better job.
Yeah, no, I know. The clinical is important, and if you...
this is like a common thing tonight.
However, you still can work clinically, even just with the LM. You still can work clinically. You just have to, you know, the supervisor has to have their C and whatever, or a psychologist or a physician. So you still can do the clinical work.
And
the supervision you got before is not gone.
The supervision I got in New York didn't transfer over to Colorado. I had to start over. I never really had a full-time social work degree, position when I was in Colorado. I had part-time, and then I went to a preschool teacher.
I'm surprised that they're not scooping anybody up because there's a lack of clinicians and lack of social workers, and I'm surprised that you're not getting scooped up. Well, I don't know what Colorado's like at this point.
I heard from listening to people, I know someone else in Colorado. It's just I guess it depends on your energy and experience perspective, but from what I'm hearing is it's it's not working out in Colorado. It's a little challenging, but I pulled some cards for you. The subject of the whole genre for you is the past. I said past. In reverse is the seven of swords in reverse. So there was something about you moving forward, but didn't really tell people you were moving forward, or you left something. You kind of and the obstacle of that was control. So I don't know if it was a relationship too, or just the job thing. The main thing right now is the Ace of Cups, which is a fulfillment of the overall fulfillment. But the obstacle for you is the intuition of the High Priestess. So there's something you really, really want, but you have to also understand you're already mentally receiving intuitive guidance for it, but you're not doing the steps for it. So, and my guides are saying too, things can be a temporary step. It's okay to take a job and you know that it's going to be for 2 months, 3 months, or let me see this. Do you want to move somewhere else?
I don't. I keep getting messages that I'm not supposed to be in the state. I don't know why.
I'm feeling California. I don't know why I'm here in California.
It's okay that you went.
Did you have a desire to go to California?
No, not at all.
Okay.
You have a goal of some sort with what you want. This is what a lot of people need to also understand. Things work out better when you have a purpose of why you're doing what you're going to do.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it doesn't have to be the same exact thing that you're doing what you're going to do. What I'm hearing is you went through life obstacles before and you could be using that to help people. But just an example. But I'm also feeling you're supposed to be somewhere else. You want things to work out here and develop here. And I also get you're alone or you went through a breakup or you're just not the same person. Your thoughts are with the moon in reverse. There's phases going on, things going in processes, but you're not looking at the steps. So to me, that's also saying, why am I feeling this way and not understanding the collective energy or also understanding how your energy is emotionally affecting you because you're not understanding your body's, our body will send signals to something, but sometimes we're thinking it's just this. There's something you're not focusing on. What is that? Your heart is the fool. So you're avoiding something emotionally. What was in the past was the Queen of Cups in reverse. So you were avoiding a real desire or goal that you really wanted to complete. What's foreseen is the Three of Cups.
I was considering a life coach career.
Okay, you should have kept going with that. Yeah.
I know.
Because
but I can't do it anymore. It's not, I don't really align with it anymore.
And that's why you're not aligned with it.
That's why you're not aligning with the clinical work either. Because if you truly want to
Why
do
did
that.
You stop doing
yeah.
that?
Yeah.
I want to know. And it's funny because you're on my social media page.
It was up to who I did my coaching with, and we started not really liking her very much. And I'm like, and I'm like, I don't, I felt like she was in for the money, and I'm like, I want to do something different. I wanted to go in a different way, maybe like spiritual, but like it was spirit.
Yeah.
Was, I'm going to say what it is.
yeah. Why? Look, for me too, there's a ton of people in the world doing the same thing, but I'm doing it differently. It doesn't matter. I have my style. You have something about you. Well, my guys are saying, that's why I asked that question, because you're trying to force a timeline that is supposed to be complete, and you're like avoiding yourself. So you allowed someone else to influence your emotion to go, I give up. And that's not what.
But even so, the life coach thing, you know, is very similar to social work. I mean, it's very similar to the clinical work that you want to do. Why did you leave social work?
I left social work because I have twins, and I'm like, oh, I'll just go back, because I was a stay-at-home mom. And I said, after 10 years, I wanted to go back to work, and it was hard for me to go back to work because I never got.
Yeah, because of that gap. But there is a way to do it. I mean, if you wanted to, if you truly wanted to, you know, if you truly want that, you have the passion to help people and to do those things. There are methods and ways to get back into it if you truly
so
want it.
So just hire someone to do the supervision and just do it on my like.
Yeah.
You have to set a goal.
You got to go after what it is you want, and you're going about it in kind of arbitrary way. I don't want to say arbitrary, but you're going in a roundabout way to get to get the feeling or the situation or the similar to what it is you really want to do.
But also,
and if
like,
not,
I can't. People can't have to, you know, if you don't have your clinical, people can't use their insurance. They have to pay cash.
Well,
so
that's what private. That's private insurance. That's working on your own. That's working, you know, independently. And yeah, you do have to have your clinical, and some places
right.
you have to have the R as well. And
right.
You know, to do the third party billing. However, that's not, you're young enough. And that's not impossible to achieve. There is a method to achieve that. And the method to achieve that is to get a job through a clinic.
That's what this job that I got offered. You feel mm-hmm. like I should take that one? It's with working with opioid addictive.
You know, and I was going to say addiction. Holy shit. And I should have said it. Oh, my God. Because that was one of the first feelings I got was that.
Totally
addiction is the place.
Okay.
However, it is a stepping stone, and I'll tell you what, when you have a job, that's when you get another job.
I gotta tell you something, though. My mom's right, but
right.
you have to have the sense of balance with purpose, because that's purpose, yes. But you have this spiritual thing that you're hiding it from yourself. And my guys are saying... You are intuitive, and they're saying bullshit. There's no more of this for you where you're like, no, I'm not. Well, kind of, sort of, you are.
Mm-hmm.
And you're frustrating yourself because
mm-hmm.
you're not believing in yourself in certain ways.
Yeah.
They're telling me that you can pick up messages for me now that I may need to hear. And if you do, go for it, because I loved it. But they're saying this is bullshit because you're lying to yourself about your gifts.
Right.
It's one place to do the spiritual work. It's one place to do social work, because what I'm
but
finding
I'll tell
lot,
you what, and I'm going to tell you from my own experience.
But there's a problem, Mom.
But the spiritual does come in to the work.
I
didn't believe that for a long time.
I agree and disagree, only because.
Yeah, I think that because like I feel like this is a clinic. I feel like this is about money, and they're trying. It's not about. It's about how many clients you could get in and out and do the paperwork and get it all written down. It's
yes and no. I'm going to tell you yes and no. As an administrator, there is a certain amount of productivity you have to have because you have to pay the bills. You have to pay the salaries. You have to pay the phone. You have to pay the lights and that stuff. But because she's saying she's getting the feeling that it's about productivity and money to a certain degree. Yeah.
Really, like, I don't really feel like it's really like and the insurances. They don't care about the patients. They really
Insurance, I can't tell you how many fights I've had with insurance companies and I've, you know, buried them because I got so mad.
The main thing I would just want to say was this. The people that I come in contact with is that the main issue with the setting of that is that they are afraid to talk about their experiences of what they've seen, especially I can understand. So that's the only thing I said. Being in that setting is good, but also the spiritual setting is even a better thing too, because they can be open without, there's an open without judgment is the fear of what they're experiencing.
Yeah,
because
what you feel, Riley, is even full than a social worker, because...
No, I don't agree with that. I think it's all different settings. I started with going to therapy because of what I went through, which helped me.
I can tell you I do both.
I know you do both.
I do both. And what I'm saying, it's different. In a spiritual setting, everyone that comes to you is willing and wanting and open to hearing what you have to say. Okay? In a clinical setting, it's a crapshoot. You know, it totally is a crapshoot. And you will know, and the gift is, in the spiritual way, the gift is to know where to get to that person so they engage. But in a spiritual gift, if you have that, you'll be able to engage, and that becomes very fulfilling because you're able to treat. And that has been my gift, that I'm able to, you know, engage and treat, because I've learned that I'm going to utilize some of my spirituality.
Yeah.
And I didn't know, you know, 25 years ago, I didn't know I had that. I didn't know why I knew things. I didn't know why I was able to zone in on some, you know, on someone's issue and go, I'm getting a sense with, and you just learn how to word that. And they go, oh my God, yeah, you're right. And from there, you got it. And then they engage, and there's a satisfaction to that. There is a huge satisfaction to that, because you're now helping someone. Because whether it be spiritual, whether it be clinical, that feeling of helping, if you're a helper, is the biggest gift.
Yeah.
And every day that I want, you know, I would want to quit. I remember about 15 years ago, I said, you know what? I'm quitting. I've had enough of this, and I'm going to become a waitress, and I'm just going to say blue cheese, Thousand Island, French, you know, and that was going to be my, you know, the heaviest thinking I had to do. And then that day, somebody would come to me crying, go, and you're my angel. You changed my life.
Yeah, right.
And then I was like, okay, I'm done. I'm done. That's it. I'm back into it. So even in substance abuse, because I've worked in substance abuse, it is very gratifying. I still have clients that are seeking me out because I left a place, and they're hysterical crying, going, what did you do? Why did you leave? And because I left in, you know, abruptly.
I want you to practice something, and it's really simple. When you just think about what does it feel like to be at that job or this place, and don't worry about what it looks like and stuff. Just feel how it feels that you're there. And if it feels good, then it's good.
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't feel good, then don't pursue it. But the other thing, too, is I do ask you, what do you get spiritually from me as a message? My guides are really saying, you need to hone in more on that as well. Like, just you accept your gift.
Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. I'm getting excited about my next opportunity. So thanks so much for your messages.
And there's no wrong decision here. I think it's a decision. And if you, whatever it is you choose, you don't like it, you can always move on to another thing. There's no cement that holds you down.
Right. That's true. Okay.
Well, thank you for calling in, and feel free to ever reach out with any questions. You know, I'm human.
Thank
Looking
you.
Forward to hearing what you know, what you do, what you choose.
Thank you. Take care. Bye bye.
Bye bye.
I don't know. I guess it's just what I try to help people with myself. Where sometimes the hardest struggles with what do I do, and I don't know. We kind of get lost. I look to motivational videos. That's like, it's don't give up and shit like that. But it's like when you re-listen to certain things, you look ready to go.
No, I'm thinking I'm in the crossroad myself.
Well,
you know, here I am in this crossroad again. But you know, it's there because of circumstances. You know, you go from one thing to the next thing, and then somehow it's, you know, things fall in your lap for whatever reason, and now I'm at a crossroad again, and going so. But what I'm doing at the crossroad is I'm just going to take things as they come and check it out. Just, you know, okay, let's, you know, this circumstance, let me go look at this. I'm just going to look, and I'm going to ask questions. And if it doesn't feel right to me, if it doesn't sound right to me, I'm not going there. And, you know, next. And I just, you know, I stay with what I'm doing, and okay, if another situation comes up, then maybe I'll entertain it. But crossroads and things like that, they just never cease to, they just don't stop. They just don't stop.
We're always going to keep moving.
Right.
We're always going to keep moving and changing. And I think sometimes it's frustrating because this world is full of a bunch of stuff. So knowledge and feelings and this and that and learning and evolving. So yeah, it's always going to keep moving forward. I think the only thing that really stands out to me the most always is, what is my fear of this and what I need to challenge myself on? Because that's only the blockage of me going forward through it.
Mm-hmm.
And we create all this stuff that's like, well, I can't do that because of this, but it's really what you want to do. And why can't you do it? Because that's not the only reason. It's just the reason that we give ourselves. So I think what we're going to do is we're going to play a song, take a couple minutes of a break, and then come back after the song, do more readings. And
oh my God, it's a chorus fault. I got to go to bed.
I'm going to play a song, come back, and I'll do it. But you had fun, right? It's 11:44. Angel number. An angel number. I realize I look like shit on Facebook Live.
I didn't read.
Okay. All right. Take a break. We'll come back. Well, if my mom's here, if not.
My eyes are getting dry.
Might as well say bye now. I'll be here.
May I guess so. Just.
By the way, guys, I don't know. I just want to let you know we're just playing a song, and we're going to be, like, right back. We're just taking the mini break. So if you still want a reading or anything, just enjoy the mini break. We're playing a song. Don't worry. I'm going to be here, but just chill. It's all right. Let's see. Let's do this again.
I want to be a billionaire so fucking bad. Buy all of the things I never had. I wanna be on the cover of Forbes magazine, smiling next to Oprah and the Queen. Oh, every time I close my eyes, I see my name in shiny lights. Yeah. A different city every night. Oh, I swear the world better prepare for when I'm a billionaire.
Yeah, I would have a show like Oprah. I would be the host of Everyday Christmas. Give Travi a witness. I'd probably pull an Angelina and Brad Pitt and adopt a bunch of babies that ain't never had.
dear lady has this. And last but not least, grant the body a last wish. It's been a couple months that I've been seeing ghosts, so you can call me Travis Claus, modest a ho-ho. Get it? I'll probably visit when Katrina hit, and damn sure do a lot more than FEMA did. Yeah, can't forget about me, stupid. Everywhere I go, I'ma have my own theme music.
Oh, every time I close my eyes,
what you see? What you see, bro?
I see my name.
President, dunking on his delegates, then I compliment him on his political etiquette. Toss a couple million in the air just for the heck of it, but keep the 520 tizzy bins completely separate. Yeah, I'll be in a whole new tax bracket. We in recession, but let me take a crack at it. I'll probably take whatever's left and just split it up, so everybody that I love can have a couple bucks. And not a single tummy around me would know what hungry was, eating good, sleeping soundly. I know we all have a similar dream. Go in your pocket, pull out your wallet, put it in the air and sing.
I wanna be a billionaire so fucking bad.
So bad.
Buy all of the things I never had.
Buy everything.
I wanna be on the cover of Forbes magazine, smiling next to Oprah and the Queen.
What up, Oprah?
Oh, every time I close my eyes,
huh? Gotta go back onto this now. We're back on this.
Oh, the podcast? Oh. So you were doing podcast and Facebook at
the
same time?
At the same time.
I didn't understand that. All this technology, I don't understand it. Lies, lies.
Mm-hmm. I think what I would like to do next, if you want to stick around and stay, if not, I'd rather just like do the reading without knowing anything, because it seems like it brings it into a whole different aspect.
Oh yeah, well the more information you get, the more energy you get. But you know, because me personally, I get like images and words, and I say, you know, I just kind of spit it out. Why am I? I'm getting this word, blah blah blah, and that it leads to, you know, and see, I don't need it. I get validation that's true. And then someone will tell me why it's true. And then it leads into, you know, more of the story.
Mm-hmm. All right. Because it just got like all the readings, because that's not typical for me, but it got like all serious and shit.
Well, that's me. I'm sorry.
No, it's not you.
Yeah, it is. It's just, you know,
I got to maintain
the flow.
The happy fun flow.
Otherwise, it's
just like
wah wah wah. We end up being Debbie Downers.
Mm-hmm. All right, so I guess we'll do area code 310. What's your name? Where are you calling from?
Should I sing or something?
Hello.
Hello. Hello. Hello. Hello.
Did I lower the volume?
You lowered the volume. He lowered the volume.
Who's this?
So we're gonna say hello again.
I heard someone.
Hello?
Hey, what's up? What's your name?
Hi.
Hi. Hey.
Hi, this is Vince. I'm calling from New York.
I didn't hear the first name. Vince?
Vince. Yeah.
I thought I wasn't hearing things. I heard Vince.
So, you
calling for reading?
Yeah, I'm in a real bad mind. I lost my job a couple of weeks ago. And I'm eating through my savings quickly because I got no money coming in. Unemployment has denied me pending investigation. And I've been applying like crazy online to all these jobs. And I've had a couple of interviews. Like I had one that I thought I was going to get. And then they sent me an email this morning saying that we're moving forward with somebody else.
Oh, I
so
love
I'm just
that
wondering if, yeah, I'm just wondering if you see anything coming like yesterday. Otherwise, I'm going to be in a lot of trouble. I do have a job that I'm going to on Saturday. And then I have a job, an in-person job interview on Monday and Tuesday with two different companies.
What happened before this? Because there's something that impacted you emotionally, and I feel like that was a catalyst to your life.
Well, yeah, you got it right. Back in 2021, I was fired for something that I didn't do from a job that I'd been at for 3 years, and
okay.
All my bosses liked me and everything, but the new general manager that took over, because the other general manager got a promotion. He didn't know my record. He didn't know me. He didn't know anything about me. I was working like double shifts 7 days a week. I was busting my tail, working through my breaks to try and get the job done so they can get it ready on time. And he blamed me for something that I didn't do, and they fired me, and the union refused to stick up for me and help me. And it was one of the best jobs I've ever had. And since then, I've gone through about 8-9 jobs. I either quit or got fired from them.
Okay. Because I get those other stuff too.
I could understand that feeling. And what I can say is, and I understand also, you know, it was the job you loved, and that's it. If this didn't happen, you would have been there until the building fell down and you know,
yeah.
They were sweeping away the last rocks, you would have still been there.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes as much as we love something and we put our all into it, it's meant for us to keep moving forward and keep improving and keep getting better and better experiences, but it's not going to be the same as the first job.
Right.
Because it's just different. It can be, but it's not going to be because of the people, you know, different people, different managers, different, you know, different everything. But in the time after, you know, in this time is your time to grow, and that growth is painful.
There's spiritually, there's something that's been bothering you for years, and I don't know what time frame it comes from, but for example, I sabotaged myself and I had no idea, and it sounds so stupid, but we don't know that we're doing it. I'm not saying you did it. There's something bigger for you. And
right,
this is
that's
like,
where I was going.
You have a passion for something, or you need to believe in what you love doing.
That's where I was going with
well,
that, Joe. You didn't let me get to
well,
it.
Well, here's you're so right because, I moved from Canada. I moved to Los Angeles back in 1994 to pursue an acting career, and I started making strides and everything. And long story short, my wife got sick. She could no longer work, and she wanted to be close to family. And I couldn't find a job where we were working, so against my wishes and reluctantly, I moved into the middle of New York. Like, there's, like, nothing here. There's absolutely nothing for me. There's no acting, no nothing. Yeah, so I live in the Poughkeepsie, New York area.
Oh, wow.
Whoa.
And so,
we're very close to you.
Yeah.
Okay, I live close to the train station.
Too.
I live close to the train station.
Oh, I know where that is. Yeah, I've traveled on that train several times because I was going to work.
Yeah, like
there's very few opportunities up here And I could tell you that because acting is, but it is coming around because there are opening studios up here, and they are, there are more and more opportunities as time goes on. You might have to travel, but that's something you know, you need to do on the side right now because you have to actually have it work. But
Because I've got no money to pay bills. I'm going to lose my car. I'll get a pretty.
What is it you were doing before? What have you done? What is it that you?
I've always been in the manufacturing production area. So the job that I was telling you about that I got wrongfully terminated from, it was Pepsi. And they're located in Albany. So I worked in the plant. And I was trained on everything from running all the machines to sanitizing and cleaning all the equipment and conversion. And, you know, and I was working like double shifts, 7 days a week. I would come in on holidays to get everything ready for up and running for the next day. You know, like even on holidays and everything. So they really liked me. And if my old boss had still been there, I still would be there right now.
Yeah, I know that feeling.
There's a reason. Yeah. I know it sounds stupid, but there is a reason why, because you're meant to be other places. Mm-hmm. And what I'm hearing too is you need to try your best to shift this energy into determination. And what my guides are telling me too is, just start going places that you feel is interesting, and without overthinking it, say, hey, this is my name, and, you know, I'm interested in working here. I've had jobs where I barely knew anything in that field, and I got hired just because of who I was. And did I stay there? It doesn't matter. But for you, you have to be willing. It's almost like there's a message and a timeline for you to be on, and you're here. Okay, you're in Poughkeepsie. If I was sad about something, I'm only going to find more reason to be sad about it. So if you shift your energy into being excited, which is a challenge, you're going to put it into determination, because you're going to find yourself somewhere else. There's going to be a new placement, and you have to let go of the past, which is hard to do.
Yeah.
But think of this as you are here for this time, for this reason, to discover new people, new things. It might be a restaurant. It might be maybe in Newburgh. It might be wherever. You just have to be excited to look around. I would get out of even the internet. Just physically go places. Let go of the fear, because the fear is really pushing you.
Well, I have a job interview. Well, actually, on Saturday I'm going to a job fair with Frito-Lay in Newburgh. It's close to Newburgh. It's a little further out from Newburgh, but anyway, I'm going for a job here on Saturday. And then on Monday, I'm going to a company called Schultz, Bearings, which is in Poughkeepsie. They pay really well. And then Tuesday, I have a job interview with a chemical company in Connecticut. They seem to be interested in me. So my question is one of these jobs going to come through?
Yes. And what I'm feeling, but I'm going to be honest with you. I need you to see what's happening first. What's happening is you already have 3 job interviews. Mm-hmm. And what I'm also hearing from my guides and from your voice, and I can pick up on the vibration, you have to be excited.
Yeah.
And
not panicked.
Not panicked and not worried. I'm not saying it's going to fail. I'm saying be excited, because the universe is saying, look, I'm bringing you somewhere, and I got 3 job interviews.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know how long it took you to get those, but you have to find – the only thing about the past I want you to focus on is how you always either got back up to find the next thing,
mm-hmm.
not worry about losing the thing and the next thing. And
I did the same thing
at one point.
Well, let me ask you this, because I was told by HR when I was fired from Pepsi, I was told by HR that it's going to be a while before I can reapply for any position in any Pepsi plant. And just the other day, just yesterday, I went on the Pepsi website just to see if I qualified, And sure enough, they lifted the ban on me, and I was able to reapply there. Not that I would go back, but I just wanted to see if they would. But here's a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. But here's a question for you. In last July, I got a job at a company called Mail Container Corporation. You know where Stewart Airport is?
Yeah.
In Newburgh? Okay, mm-hmm. Well, right next to Stewart Airport, there's a company called Mail Container, and they're owned and operated by Anheuser-Busch.
Mm-hmm.
Last July, I got a job there as a temp, and so I wasn't making very good money, but I was busting my tail, working hard and everything, because when you get your foot in the door, usually it takes about 5-6 months before they hire you permanent full-time.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the middle of October, my boss, the plant manager came to me and said, hey, I'm going to put you on a new job starting next week to see how you do it. And I said, okay, now what about full-time? Because you've been hiring a lot of people full-time and you're passing them up that. He said, well, right now we're almost fully staffed, but if you keep going the way you are, because I've heard nothing but great things about you, you're a hard worker, everybody likes you, you jump in and help everywhere. You don't fool around or anything. And I always see you put your best foot forward. So keep going the way you are, and eventually it'll happen. Well, 2 weeks later, he called me in the office and said, somebody told me that I went into a machine to do some cleaning without locking and tagging it out. And he said, the person that said this is also willing to sign a sworn statement. And I told him that's not true. I didn't do that. I told him exactly what I did. And I said to him that I've been in the industry for 30 years, and I know better than to walk into a machine that with the power on. And I said, the other thing is, if that person is willing to sign a statement, I'll go one better. I'll take a lie detector test, and I'll sign a sworn affidavit. So they suspended me, and then 2 weeks later, he fired me because they took their word instead of him. Now, a month ago, I went there because they had a job fair, and there was a new HR manager there. So I met with him, and I explained to him my situation. I explained to him about the affidavit. So he said to me that I have to wait for a full year before I can reapply. And then
I want to say this with love. I know that it's easier for me to say this, but throughout everything, I want you to start practicing on your confidence with you. Fuck people. Honestly, fuck the jobs, fuck people. Because what I'm hearing and feeling is all this hurt from your past, which is, I get it. And I want you to know I care, because I'm saying it this way because I want you to see this for you. Forget the jobs that happened. Forget the people that mistreated you or screwed you over. But I need you to stand up for you and what you live for and who you are. Because this is something significant, and you need to find this within you. Because so far in your past, what I'm hearing, you've let people say what happened to you and mm-hmm. was bullshit, mm-hmm. and you were
I was feeling jealousy, and you know, when someone is a power worker and is liked by management and is liked by other workers, there's always that guy, you know, that guy, and that guy is the negative influence, is that I don't know, that rotten apple, so to speak.
Yeah, there's always but
that guy is the one that gets to him is the point. And
well, they fucked him. They said, "Oh, that's good shit," and then they set him up for bad shit. It's
because what happens is that negative person, that jealous person, tries to set you up, and by almost defending yourself to a degree, it becomes like you get sucked into that negative stuff.
Side note from the jobs, when you were younger or in your teenage years or whatever age, what pops up about being misunderstood or mm-hmm. someone judging you when you were younger? Because you, and I'm going to be honest with you, and I say this because I would help people the same way regardless. There's a lack of love for yourself, and you got tired of proving or trying to explain to someone, and you, like, you lost yourself.
Wow.
Just kind of.
Yeah, I did, because I grew up, well, let me put it this way. First of all, I grew up in a religious wacko family surroundings. My parents forced me to go to catechism, forced me to go to Catholic schools, forced me to go to church every Sunday. And then on top of that, my dad was a raging alcoholic. He was a hard worker. Everybody loved him. But once he had some liquor in his system, he just became like a Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde.
Mr. Hyde, yeah.
Complete wacko. And he got into... So
are you the oldest kid or the youngest kid?
I was... there was four of us in the family. I was the second one. So my brother was a year older, and then my sister was a year younger, and my other sister was 3 years younger. But my father ended up, because he got into so much trouble with the law, my father ended up hanging himself at work after he drank a bottle of vodka. And that was when I was 13. So he never showed me any love, and never showed me any self-respect. I had no confidence in myself, and I always thought of myself as a failure of everything. So why even bother trying?
Well, thank you for being comfortable with sharing that. And that, that's a significant...
Whoa, you really hit it on the head.
It's huge.
Yeah.
It's huge.
I'm getting chills right now. Seriously. Can I also, I have one more question. Did you experience a lot of shit after that spiritually?
Yeah, actually, before, when I was a little kid, I remember as far back as I was about 7 years old, I started seeing things. I started seeing spirits. I started getting messages. My parents used to hold a lot of get-togethers on the weekends. You know, they have company. So I would always say to my dad's friends when they came over, if I saw something, I would go up to them and say, hey, I see this happening for you and that happened for you. They thought I was just an idiot. What does a little kid know? Well,
right.
About a week or two later when it happened, they call my parents and go, your son told me that this is going to happen. How did he know this? So my parents didn't have any answers. They didn't know anything about it. So they took me to a priest. And rather than the priest...
I was
going to
say, they probably asked him on an exorcism.
No, you know what they did? The priest, instead of saying to me, you know, I don't know enough about this. Let me get some books, read up on it, and I'll get back to you. He sat me down and said, what you're doing is devil's work. He pointed his finger
right
in my
face.
And he said, and if you continue like that, you're going to burn in hell. Yeah.
They were ready to perform an exorcism. Yeah, that's the...
Yeah.
So do you still see and hear?
No, you shut it off. He shut it off.
Yeah, so...
They scared the shit out of him, and they shut it off.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. And then it wasn't until I was, until after my dad's death, I started experiencing little things here and there. But it really hit hard on me when I was back in 93. I lost my job. I was living in Canada. I lost my job at a brewery. And I was sleeping in the middle of the night, and all of a sudden, I felt this hand on my back. Like it was almost like it was holding me down. And I woke up abruptly. It was like 2 o'clock in the morning. I'm looking around the room. I go, oh, who's there? And then I didn't think it didn't happen. A couple of nights later, the same thing happened. Well, I happened to know this guy who was a channeler, and I went to see him. This guy didn't know anything about me, nothing about my background. And he said to me, I feel you lost a grandparent, like a grandfather, just recently. Am I right? And I said, yeah, it was my grandfather. And I never even knew my grandpa. He said, well, you mentioned in this will, but the message he's trying to tell you is protect yourself, because some family members are trying to scam you for your part of the money. And sure enough, about a month later, my aunt called me, and I was very close to my aunt. My aunt called me, and she asked me to come over. She wanted to talk to me, and I did. And my aunt said, hey, this is happening, and you're mentioning your will. And, you know, and so it was really a trip. It was really shocking to me that happened.
I need you to have faith, and I'm not telling you what to believe in. I'm not telling you to do anything. I'm just saying I suggest the universe, God, angels, because this says, when I'm listening to your voice, when you were telling me about when you were a kid and it brought back this energy that you needed, and the significance of your father's passing is a big impact on what's happening too. It's like this mm-hmm. inner part of you that, and I totally understand.
And the other thing, you really, you know, when somebody takes their life that way, they're in darkness for a very long time. And although he, you know, the way he was then and how he is now are two different things. You know, when you move to the other side, it's much different. And what he needs now is light. He truly needs light and prayers, because his darkness is not helping you.
I don't know how long.
Yeah, I know. And I'm trying to.
You're
my
in darkness until the day you were supposed to die.
Yeah, my wife's been telling me that I'm letting my family ring by reliving all this crap, and I need to break free from it and start being more confident in myself.
And what happens also, you know, because you have that gift, believe it or not, it doesn't go away. You just shut it off.
Yeah.
No.
It's still there.
Yeah.
And what happens is, because, you know, there was so much sorrow, he's hanging on you. He's, you know, he's coming to you. Yeah. Like they hang with their head, like, I wouldn't say hanging on you, like holding on. They stand with you with their head down.
You know what? If you actually forgive him.
Right. That's where I'm trying to go.
Well,
because I'm trying to give him the picture of what's really there. And a lot of this is manifesting, the negativity is manifesting because of this. And so, you know, all that stuff is just like, it's I could hear it. It's looming. And he needs to offer him light. Light candles in church, if you want to go to church, if you feel that way. Or light candles at home with his picture there. Maybe a glass of water with the picture and then the candle. And just keep giving him light and prayers and forgiveness. Okay.
Yeah.
And so that he illuminates before, you know, you don't want him to, you know, to be in that darkness until for the next 40 years.
I think it's easier to say work on your confidence than just understanding. So understand that this wasn't your fault. And I want you to understand, too, the job thing and all that. Things, timelines and stuff get better when we actually – heal and let go and forgive.
Right.
So I don't want you to worry about making the wrong decisions. I just want you to spend time with you and just really focus on even your body. Put your hand over your heart and say, I forgive myself for what I didn't know then and I know now. I forgive my father for not understanding how much I needed this, and just let it out. You're going to cry.
Go
ahead. I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was just gonna ask, as far as the job thing goes, so I'm just wondering, because I'm really interested in going back to working at Metal Container, because they're a great company. It's like 4 days on, 4 days off, fantastic pay and everything. You don't have to work there. So I'm wondering if you see, like, when I wait till November and reapply, if they will take me back and give me another shot.
This is going to be something that I want you to let go of what you have thought about decisions so far, because what's happening is if you're going to take a job and it's good, and then you're going to think about the other one, and you're not giving yourself a chance to stay in one timeline because you're afraid of that one failing and which one's good. You're going to keep looking for the next one, and you need to let go of this belief that you have carried about jobs, because it's creating issues and your love for yourself.
Right.
You need some.
You keep cutting off your path.
Yeah. It's like you're disrespecting yourself. And what do you really want, like, out of a job? What would you love to have out of a job?
Well, I love working with my hands. I love getting to a point like where I was at Pepsi, that everyone relied on me. I had a lot of responsibility laying on my shoulder. It was up to me when the line was ready for them to get it ready on time to start production on time in the morning.
Right.
You know, there was a lot of factors. So I love that responsibility. But my real dream job is to be the actor, but also to be the writer, because I wrote one book. I've been trying to shove around. I just recently started emailing all the agents and managers in both in LA and New York, trying to do the acting and trying to get the book done. It's kind of like a Goodfellas casino type thing. It's a true story. It's called Crushed by Teamsters. Then I've got two other scripts that I want to write. One is Edmund Fitzgerald. Mm-hmm. Are you aware of that one?
Edmund Fitzgerald?
And it's kind of like, yeah, the Edmund Fitzgerald. Gordon Lightfoot sang a song of the Edmund Fitzgerald.
Yeah,
it was a huge, yeah, yeah. So, and I want to write a movie of that because they did the Titanic, so now I want to do the Edmund Fitzgerald. And then I also have one called The Big Age. Do you know who Peggy Entwistle is?
No, that's all right. Tell me.
Or was? Well, Peggy Entwistle, back in the mid-20s, early 30s, she was trying to make it in Hollywood as an actress, and she started getting some small parts. She was actually married to Brian Keith's father, who was a real con artist and scumbag. Nobody in Hollywood liked him. And everything went awry in her life. She couldn't get anywhere. She's the most famous person to go down to the Hollywoodland sign, climb up to the top of the H and throw herself off. That's what she's famous for.
Oh, geez. Okay.
Yeah. And till this day, people have said, I've been reading articles about it, people have said they still see her, like if someone was standing in front of me right now, yeah, they see her dressed the way she was back then, and people have reported to the police, and the police have said, you're not the first ones to see that.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to
have great ideas.
Yeah, those are three.
There's nothing wrong with continuing with that and your passion and doing, you know, doing the things that you truly love. And when you do something you truly love, you will be successful.
I would like you to contact me on my Facebook page with my spiritual work. Cause I would like to work with you, certain things with helping you with your energy and letting go of stuff. It's on Facebook. Just look up A Millennial's Third Eye and just message me. And if you have time tomorrow, we'll connect. But I'd like to spend a little bit of time helping you focus on the spiritual part of releasing and helping you become more in alignment with the happiness for yourself, the confidence.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
I'll do that. All right.
Yeah.
And really work on that, you know, giving your father light and forgiveness. And I think that with that, all that you're going to notice, things are going to start to open. You're going to see paths that you never imagined, like the acting, like the book writing, is going to open.
Right.
And these other jobs are going to be, you know, arbitrary kind of, you know, like, all right, I'll do this for a while. And you're going to go in with enthusiasm. When you go into these job interviews, you're going to go with enthusiasm and show them that you really want it. And they're going to want you because you want it. And but I think with more of the forgiveness and that and lighting the candles and doing that, it's going to take the loom of darkness that's around you.
Family and the lack of love.
And there is love in your life.
So what's your Facebook page?
It's A Millennial's Third Eye.
I'm sorry, how do you spell that?
A Millennial, M-I-L-L.
You know what? Is this your cell phone number?
No. Yes, it is.
All right.
So what you can do is
text
me with all that. Yeah, text me with all that information, and then I'll get together with you tomorrow.
Yeah, let me.
Vince, you know what? I have to go to bed because I actually have to go to work tomorrow. So I wish you love and light,
And
thank you so much, guys. I appreciate it.
And, you know, much, much forgiveness in your path and much prosperity and abundance and health and
yeah.
all those beautiful things. And I think you will achieve it. I really
yeah.
do. I feel like you will achieve it.
Yeah, well, I'm glad I got to talk to you guys tonight. I really am. I called in earlier and a couple of times, and then so I'm really happy that I got to be a chance to talk to you.
That and you live like 5 miles away from us.
Yeah, it's not, you're not that far.
Yeah, that's even shocking because when I say I live in Poughkeepsie, New York, to people, they go, "Where the hell is that?"
Where's Poughkeepsie?
So
and they go, "Oh my God."
Yeah. So and I love watching the old black and white movies on the Turner Classic Channel, and
mm-hmm.
some of these old period movies that date back to the Washington days mentions Poughkeepsie.
Absolutely.
So
well,
it's
the Washington
the oldest...
headquarters. Washington's headquarters is in Newburgh. I mean, I did an internship there when I did
yeah,
my undergrad.
That's the, yeah, they have that military academy that's just right off the Hudson River close by.
That's right. There was the encampment.
Yeah.
The encampment.
Yeah.
There was Washington headquarters, and there's a lot of history here.
Mm.
If you look, you know, West
yeah,
Point and the river. And
yeah.
You go to what? Oh, I can tell you so much. Because I did an internship there. So I know a lot about, you know, the Revolutionary War over there. But, even up here in the early 1900s, like 1920s, there are a lot of actresses that came up here and actors. They did a lot of the spaghetti westerns up here. So
they did.
So, you know, there's
a lot of
the history is rich, believe it or not.
Yeah.
It goes back.
Yeah, it is.
When the Dutch were here. So, you know, there's a lot of spirits, too. I see lots of Indians.
Pilgrims
and all kinds of stuff that's
yeah.
around.
Well, hey, thank you for calling
and
in.
By the way,
feel free to message
so
me tomorrow. And we're going to, I want you to get excited about what's to come because this is going to shift and change.
Yeah, okay. Good night.
Right. Well, thank you very much. Good night.
You're very welcome. Good night. Okay, guys.
I am going to bed.
Hi, Mom.
Good night, honey.
Thank you for joining me.
You're welcome.
I think I'll take like a couple more callers and then step off. But
that energy actually made me very sleepy.
Well, there was a lot of heaviness from people. I guess that's why you know that's
yeah,
why we do with this, right?
Before I go to bed, so I don't have nightmares.
Nightmares.
Because sometimes you know you don't want to. I gotta lighten up the energy a little bit because it tired me out. So I gotta clean myself a little bit.
That's also why I do it. It's good to like just. Got your purpose in there. All right, let's see. I'll take the next caller, which is Zaire code 716. What's up?
Hi. Hello?
If I could write you a song to make you fall in love, I would already have you up under my arm. I used up all of my tricks. I hope that you like this, but you probably won't. You think you're cooler than me. You got designer shades just to hide your face, and you wear them around like you're cooler.